Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. When Peter and the other apostles preached to thousands of Jews on the day of Pentecost, they were announcing the end of the Old Covenant and the beginning of the New. Although we have no record of the Jews asking the apostles, who gave them the authority to initiate the Christian age, they had every right to know by what authority they were preaching the beginning of the New Covenant. God Himself provided the proof that the apostles were speaking by divine authority. The spectacular miracles on Pentecost were the apostles' credentials that they truly were God's spokesmen, and they were not speaking on their own authority. That should have been adequate for the Jews to understand that the new covenant was being inaugurated. It apparently was sufficient for at least 3,000 people. Acts 2:41. Moses understood the principle I am discussing with you. He knew he would need some proof that God had called him to lead the Israelites out of Egyptian bondage. So when the Lord appeared to Moses and asked him to be the deliverer of his people, Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, The Lord has not appeared unto you." Exodus 4:1. Is it possible that other men had pretended to be God's messengers of deliverance? We have no way of knowing, but we do know how people often pretend to speak for God when they are either deceived or are deceivers. Was Moses being presumptuous when he asked God for some kind of proof of his being the leader whom God had chosen? Millions of people throughout the ages have been gullible in religious matters. Whenever a smooth-talking, highly polished preacher comes along making boasts of having God's special favor, great numbers of people are often led astray from the truth of God's Word. I could give you dozens and dozens of examples, but you know enough about the current religious scene to fill in the blanks. Should it not be a rule for everyone to ask, as the Jews asked Jesus on one occasion, "By what authority do you do these things, and who gave you that authority?" Matthew 21:23. The Jews may not have been honest in asking these questions, but they are perfectly legitimate questions. All of this says that we must have divine authority for whatever we do or say in religion. We should demand in every case to know by what authority a man speaks or a church engages in any activity. On one occasion, God was angry with Moses, Exodus 4:14. But he apparently was not angry that Moses had asked for some way of proving to the Israelites that God had chosen him to lead them to the land God had promised to their fathers. So the Lord asked Moses, "What is in your hand?" And he said, "A rod." The Lord then commanded Moses, "Cast it on the ground." And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from it. And the Lord said to Moses, "Put forth your hand and take it by the tail." And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. Exodus 4:2-4. If you expect me to explain how God accomplished that miracle, you are expecting what neither I nor anyone else can do. Since God made the rod in the first place, it was not difficult for him to turn it into a serpent and then to turn it back into a rod. If we could explain what happened, it would not be a miracle. Some people deny all the miracles of the Bible, but their only reason for doing so is their prejudice against the supernatural. If we admit that God exists, then the possibility of miracles cannot be denied. That is precisely what Paul had in mind when he asked King Agrippa, "Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead?" Acts 26:8. If God exists, he can raise the dead. If he does not exist, then talking about the resurrection or any other miracle is nonsense. Thank you, and may God bless you.